Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, if you go to the screen today, I've got a lot of scripture, and so we want to try to hopefully just read that and kind of start our service with some scripture today in a very succinct way, because it's very important to everything that we're going to talk about the next few minutes. Being who God made you to be. We're talking about kindness and goodness. The next one. Galatians 5, 22, 23. This has been the overall scripture that we've been looking at the last 4 or 5 weeks. Got a couple more weeks left, you can see, as we get done here, maybe two. Galatians 5, 22, 23. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. So the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit. It's not what we do. We can't self-improve ourselves very much out of this. We can't self-improve ourselves to get the fruit going. We can try, but our fruit kind of, it gets nasty, and it dies, and it goes away, and it smells, and it rots, because it's our fruit. It's not the Holy Spirit's fruit. So it's the Holy Spirit that produces this fruit. And then another verse right before this is Galatians 5, 22. It says this. Yep, you're right. Next one. 5:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean? Since we live by the Spirit, and he was talking to a church that was having trouble because they forgot that they were trying to do it on their own. They were trying to be happy on their own. They were trying to be loving on their own. They were trying to be kind on their own. And everything they did was falling apart. And so he was concerned. And so he said, I want you, church, to keep in step with the Spirit. What does that mean, keeping in step with the Spirit? And this week I started thinking about that, how to explain that. I have had my grandkids around a lot this week, and when I have my grandkids, a lot of times we'll be going somewhere, we're going across the street, or we're going to the zoo, or we're going someplace, and they'll hold my hand, and it's funny to watch, because I don't walk real fast, and they walk slow, but they're trying to keep up with me. They're trying to do what I do as I go forward. They're trying to do that, and I think that's kind of what we're talking about. We're talking about keeping in step. We want to not get out in front of the Holy Spirit, and we definitely don't want to be dragged behind. We don't be dragging them around. And I've seen some parents do that. Take their kids, you see them dragging through Walmart. Here they go. You know, they're in a hurry to go through the store. So keeping in step with the Spirit means we want to stay right where the Spirit steps. We don't want to go out in front, and we don't want to fall behind. And definitely we want to be right beside, because we want Him to be there in everything that we do. And so that's so important to understand. So since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. What does that look like? What does that look like for people sitting here in this room this day, May the 5th, the 5th being with you? Why not start your day in the morning with God? Why not end your day with God? Spend some time with Him. Why not take some time to pray? Why not make worship with other believers a priority? Why not make daily worship on your own a priority with yourself and God? Why not do all these things? I mean, when you do that and you combine them together, it produces fruit, and it allows you to stay in tune or in step with the Spirit. And so we're in this series called Being Who God Made You to Be. And that's our goal. That's our goal. Whether you are about that or not, that should be our goal, is that we're trying to be who God made us to be. Will we ever get there this side of heaven? No. No, we'll never do that. Not this side of heaven. Will we get close? Probably not. But our goal is to shoot to be more like Him today than we were yesterday. And so as we talk about this series, we want to be more loving. We want to be more joyful. We want to have more peace. We want to have more patience. And every one of us in this room would say, heck yeah, I want that. I want all those things in my life. I want them. Whether you're here and you're not a believer, or you're not a believer, you'd say, I still want those things in my life. And so today I put those two, kindness and goodness together, and I'm smooshing them together to make one. And so we're going to talk about the fruit of kindness and goodness today. And they just kind of go together, but yet there's some difference to them. And so I want to differentiate to you, and I'll try to make it clear to you what we're talking about when we're talking about goodness and the other. The word translated kindness could be translated to this word goodness, and the word translated goodness can be translated to mean kindness. Like they just go together, and yet there's some very distinct things that make them different. So let's go to the screen. There's some kindness has to do with your desire. It has to do with your motive. Goodness has to do with your intentionality and your action. Goodness has action to it. Kindness is your desire and your motive. I want to be kind. I want to be nice. But goodness, the fruit of goodness, does not necessarily come just because you have the first one there. And so it has to do with your hands. It has to do with your heart. The kindness and goodness, when they come together, it's evidence that the Holy Spirit is working in your life. So when you have kindness and goodness coming together and doing what the Holy Spirit intended them to do, that is when you know you're in step with the Holy Spirit, that your hands and your heart are matching up your desire in your head. Because what I mean by that is you can be really well-intentioned here this morning, and a lot of you are. You're very well-intentioned, but unless you do good, nothing happens. Follow along here. This is for everybody. Unless the heart thing translates to some hand things, it doesn't make any difference at all. Let me say that again. It's okay to have it in your heart. I really want to do that for somebody. I really want to do some nice things for somebody. But until it translates to your hands and some action, it's really not very helpful. So you come to service, and someone says, hey, there's a need. Me or somebody else stands up here and says, hey, we got a need. There's a flood that's happened. There's a tornado. And a lot of you first say, oh, what can I do? I'll go through my closets. I'll go help. I'll give some money. Those are the things that go through our mind. Oh, you know, the kids area needs some help. Well, I don't know. And the hub needs more help. And that kind of gets you in the heart. Yeah, we need to help people. They need help. It is tough times. It is tough to live out there today. I understand. So it gets you in the feels. It gets you in the heart. It gets you in the spot where you go, oh, I want to do something. But until you actually do something, it's not really much of any count at all. And so we have this desire to do good, but it doesn't make any difference, then why even have the desire? You say, Jeff, you're really hitting this a lot. Yeah, I am. Because I think this is a lot where a lot of us fail. In every society, in every church, in every any kind of a place that tries to do something That if you try to do something that way, something kind, something nice, unless you do something about it, it makes no difference at all. And that's where kindness and goodness come together. And there's going to be sacrifice when kindness and goodness come together. It doesn't mean somebody should do something about that. You ever been there? Oh, they should. Why aren't they doing something about that? Well, if God puts it on your heart, then maybe he's calling you. Whoa, it's so big, it's so much. I don't know. Do you know how you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. You take one little bite and say, what can I do? And what does God want me to do? And then You stay in step with the Spirit, and you get it done. When kindness and goodness come together, tangible things happen. You start to see kindness with feet on it. You start to see hands and feet that make a difference in the world around them. And so because of that, we have these tangible expressions of this kindness and goodness being demonstrated in your life. And we in the church, we call that, and even the world calls that, stewardship. Taking care of others, taking care of the environment, taking care of people, taking care of the needs that are out there that need to be taken care of. So we get to this. It's how generous are you with your time for others, with your talent for others, and with your resources of money for others. The spirit of the fruit is generosity. It's generosity. And kindness and goodness expresses itself through generosity. What you do with your hands, what you have in your hands, you do something with it. You do not let somebody else do it. You do a piece of it. Otherwise, oftentimes, other people are doing your piece. And they're carrying your load. And they're tired. And they're heavy laden. And they're burdened. And they are sitting there ready to give up because you are not carrying your piece. You say, Jeff, what is my piece? I don't know. But I know you better know what your piece is. So I want to challenge you today, is if you're part of this church family, to start expressing your kindness, because you've got a lot of kindness, and your goodness together. Put some feet on your kindness and start expressing it. And it's an intentional generosity that says, I'm going to do something about that. And all of you care about different things. I'm amazed at our church at how many of you care about certain things. Some of you, it's animals. You are so concerned, and I'm glad you are. Animals, we need to be concerned about them. And somebody needs to be doing something with them. That's important. But not everybody. And then we go to people. People have lots and lots and lots and lots of things that God wants us to do in our lives with other folks, needs that he wants us to meet, emotional and side needs that maybe nobody else is thinking about it. And I love that about our church. I love that some of you are so kind and generous, and you are sacrificial at the things you do. And some of you, not so much, not yet. You say, well, Jeff, you're judging me. I'm not judging you. Because I'm telling you, about in our church, about 35 to 40% of the people, which is high of a national standard, do 100% of the work, 100% of the lifting. That doesn't make sense with 100 and some people here today. That doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. You say, Jeff, you're being a little hard today. No, I'm not, because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Goodness and kindness are fruit of the Spirit. My hunch is this today. All of you here have a desire. It's pure. It's like you love people. You love Jesus. And you really want to be a part of things. I believe that with all my heart. I do. But it's kindness and goodness when they come together that allows the church to be spiritually significant, to be a lighthouse, to be what we are. Now, we are a lighthouse. I believe that with all my heart. Just yesterday, we opened up the hub for the first time. You know how many people we had? I think 3 people. Well, that wasn't a huge success. Well, it's 3 people got help. So tell them that wasn't a big help. So we are making a difference in this community. But what I'm telling you is we need more folks that put their kindness and their goodness together, and they smoosh it together, and they use it for the kingdom of God. Because kindness and goodness leads to an empty, without one or the other, if you have kindness and not goodness, then you know what? It's an empty niceness. It's a very empty niceness, and nothing burgers happens when you do that. Nothing happens. It doesn't come, nothing happens. It's good to want people to be helped, but it's better to help people and find how you can do it. You're sitting there going, I can't hardly walk. I can't hardly do it. Find a way. God will show you a way for you to do that. The fruit of the Spirit is not niceness. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And I believe the church has gotten this screwed up. And we are screwed up royally. There's a difference. And it doesn't mean like you have a permission here to be a jerk. But it means that you have to figure out, how am I going to stay in step with the Spirit to take my kindness and be generous with my kindness? The fruit of the Spirit is not niceness. It is kindness. Niceness can be like a fake fruit. We had some fake fruit in a bowl at our house, and it looks really real from far away. And when you get up close, oh, it's fake. I'm not going to bite into that thing. And you get a little closer, and you get a little closer, and you understand. And niceness is this. Niceness is more concerned about people liking you, more concerned that people think that you're not a nut, that you're some not spiritual nut, than being some action that goes with your niceness. And see, we don't naturally equate those two together. We all like to be nice. I want to be nice. What do we say to our kids? Play nice. What do we say to our spouses? Play nice. Play nice. Don't play dirty. Okay, I get it. And sometimes I think as a church, as believers, we have this idea that if I can just be nice enough, if I can be polite enough, that everybody's going to like me and everybody's going to like Jesus. And that isn't the truth. That couldn't be farther from the truth. Because Jesus was kind, but often, listen to me, Jesus was not nice. Ooh, did he just say that? I did. I was on the phone Monday. I was taking care of some business for my mom, some insurance stuff. I was about an hour into the call, second call, actually the third call. About 3 hours I'd been in this call, three different calls. I was into the third call, and I was talking to this gentleman. I was getting pretty upset, and I wasn't letting it show. And I was like, I'm going to be kind to this dude. And so I explained to the young man what my problem was and what I need from my mom four times. And I'm sitting there. If I was on FaceTime, I would have drew him a picture. I didn't know what else to do. I'm like, dude, you're not getting what I'm laying down here. This is stupid. And but I didn't say that. Finally, I said, I bet you're glad you got me today of all the people. Because I was starting to feel frustrated. I thought, I'll just put it back on him and say, hey, I bet you're getting frustrated. I'm really glad that you got my call today, right? And he said this, and this is no joke. And I quote, he says, you're the first person, sir, out of 60 people that hadn't cussed me out today. 60 people. That I've taken. He said, everybody cusses me out. And I'm like, wow. that's not a lot of niceness. That's not a lot of niceness. And I imagine, as Brad was saying, that's some church people in there, and some people who say they love Jesus, and people who don't, and on and on and on. See, sometimes we do want to be nice. We want to be kind. But follow me. Jesus was able to find a balance. Jesus found a balance about how to be kind and how to be nice. He wasn't always nice. Jesus was not always nice. And we get this picture in our head that Jesus was, and he wasn't. I've got four. I had nine, and I honed it down to four. And so I want to share these four with you. So let me give you a few examples of Jesus not being nice. Here we go. First one, Matthew 19:1. Here 21. Here's the situation. A rich young ruler comes to Jesus. And he says, Jesus, I want to be one of your followers. The nice thing for Jesus would have been to say, okay, yeah, follow me, come on along. But the Bible says these words, don't miss them. Jesus looked at him, and he loved him, and he said something that wasn't so nice. There's the kindness. He looked at him and he loved him. And then bang, he says, he knew, he read everything in his head. And he said, go sell everything you have and come follow me. Well, that wasn't very nice. Because that guy, he was all about what? The things. He was all about the Benjamins. He was all about the things. And Jesus knew it. And so he put the pedal to the metal. Okay, you want to be a follower? Go sell everything. That's not nice. Matthew 23:23, Jesus resorts to name calling here. He talks to these spiritual leaders and these religious leaders, and it doesn't seem very nice, but I would argue that he's really very kind. He says, you brood of vipers. That's not nice, especially to the hoity-toity religious leaders of the day, the people who are breaking down the scriptures. You brood of vipers! He wants to get their attention. He knows how hard their hearts are. You serpents! How are you going to escape being sentenced to hell? See, that's not very nice. Revelations 2 and 3. There's a whole two chapters where you see Jesus talking through different John and different people, and he says to the church in Laodicea, who's having a hard time figuring out if they're going to really be kind or nice or good, have goodness in them. He says, you are so lukewarm that it makes me sick to my stomach, and I think I'll vomit you out. Going to vomit you. That's not nice. Well, Jesus was not. He would never. He did. Matthew 18:6. Jesus is talking about something very important and near and dear to me, because the kids have always been a big deal to me. Always. I'm always about protecting kids. All my life I've been that way. And he says this, anyone who takes advantage of a simple trust of one of the little ones that I give to you as a gift. Verse 6, it would be better for you to have a large millstone tied around your neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. That's not nice. And it doesn't seem very kind unless you're the kid that it's happening to. If you're the kid that it's happening to, it seems pretty all right. Seems pretty okay. See, the fruit of the Spirit isn't niceness. It is kindness. It is kindness that has generosity to it. Imagine it this way. It took me some time to think about this, and I heard a story similar to this, and I kind of made it into my own purposes. If you go to the doctor and you're having chest pains, I think we got a doctor here today, so sorry if I'm not making fun of doctors, because doctors are incredible. But if you're a doctor and you go to see the doctor and you're having chest pains, and the moment you go to your doctor and you find out he's a nice doctor, oh, he's such a nice doctor. Yeah, I just love talking to him. He's so kind and he's nice, and He sees you that you're having this, you're out of breath, and he puts you on all the tests, and he sees you're having a heart attack, but he doesn't want to upset your day because he knows that probably you're going to have to cancel a bunch of appointments and it's going to be a bad day for you. So he just comes in the room and he says, you know, this doesn't seem nice. So here's the thing. I'm sorry you're not feeling good, but here's a sucker. And it's not a dumb sucker. It's one of those suckers that, you know, those suckers that are the blow pop, and you got how many licks you get to the middle of it, and he gives it to you and says, here's this sucker. And like, oh, what a nice guy. He just gave me a sucker. Thank you so much for giving me a sucker. And then the doctor says, look, if you're hurting tomorrow, come back and walk through out here, and then it'll be okay. And so you walk out the door thinking, boy, he was a nice doctor. What a nice doctor that was. He gave me a blow pop, not a dum-dum. That is awesome. But your chest is hurting, and you're nauseous, and you're having a heart attack, And that's not kind. It's nice. It's not kind. It's also malpractice what the doctor just did. It's not okay. And I would argue that some Christians, sometimes in an effort to be nice, we sacrifice kindness. Some people need to hear, you're being stupid. You're a brood of vipers. Don't hurt that. They need to, some strong talk. And we're afraid of it because we don't want to be labeled, radical. And so you have to know that you know what you're talking about when you're getting ready to say some of these things. Because if you do it and you don't know what you're talking about, then that's a problem. It's important we understand that we do get angry, we do get upset, and people do that, but it's important to understand that you still have got to be kind. And kind means telling the truth in love. And boy, that's one of the hardest things there is. Anybody ever experienced that? Yeah. What is it that's so hard about that? So I want to send you home with four things, and then we're done. We're done. Four things that you need to take home with you. What do I do, Jeff? Okay, here I am today. I've been trying to be nice. I found out that I'm not always kind. What do you want me to do? If you want to write these down, write them down. They're up here too. The first one is your prayer time. Increase your prayer time. And here's your prayer. It does not have to be long, lengthy prayers. God, give me the desire, give me the opportunity to be kind and to be good today. Give me the fruit of kindness and niceness combined today. Give me that fruit. And if it's of you, I'll say it after I pray it. And then I'll let you take care of the consequences. Number two, understand that how you spend your time and your money is a test of your kindness and your goodness. Now, I want you to look today during our time here of reflection in just a moment. We're going to shut the lights out in just a minute when the band comes here in just a moment. And I want you to think about this. What do you spend a lot of your time on? What do you spend a lot of your money on? Go through and look at some of your receipts. I got a feeling a lot of you are going to find out that what you spend most of your money on is me. Not me personally, but, you. Me. I spend it about me. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? No. Kindness and generosity go together, and it means that we have to find ways to do something with our time and our talents and our money. Understand that. Don't say to yourself, I'm so kind and good. If you spend your time and money on other things, reflect on that today. The Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Number three, don't confuse being nice with being kind. Follow the example of Jesus. Love people enough to be kind, even if it doesn't feel nice at the moment. But you be patient and gentle and self-centered, and then be joyful. Let the Spirit flow through you. But don't confuse being nice with kind. Well, they're not nice. You're right. You may not be nice, but you're going to be kind. And kind means sometimes telling hard things to people we love. And the fourth thing, remember God's kindness to you. How can we get kindness from God? Because we all do. We get so much kindness from God every day. Every day. Even those of you that are here today saying, I ain't had any for a long time. God hasn't been kind to me. In fact, God's got his thumb on me today. God's not looking at me. Some of you are thinking of that. I know that. God's not listening to me. Understand, God is kind to you as long as he's letting you live. He's giving you a chance to be generous, to be kind to someone else that needs what you have. You are his hands and his feet. He sent you to the issues of this day. He sent us to help those who have all the stupid problems going on around us. And because the church has taken and gone inward, and the church has taken the stuff that God's given them and built it on themselves, a lot of people are getting left behind. The more we live it, the more we have it. The more it's in us, the more it comes through us. The more it comes through us. Look at Romans. Romans 2:4, I think, says this. Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant, and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you away from your sin? That's why he's kind to you. He wants you to turn you away from whatever it is that you are doing that you know is not right. And he's using his kindness because he wants you to take note and be kind to a fellow traveler on this world. Don't mistake his kindness for indifference, because one day, God is going to come, and he's going to come through the clouds, and he's coming for those of his that are here, that have been living by the Spirit, that have been taken each day and say, I'm going to be more like you than I was yesterday. Not a selfish person by themselves, just taking care of all your needs and wants and hurts and joys, but looking outside of yourself. Let's pray as the band comes. Father God, I just thank you for your word. It is so succinct. It is so pointed. It is so loving and kind. It pricks our hearts, because I know it's pricked my heart this week. As I've looked at your word, I've looked about being nice, and I oftentimes have been nice where I needed to be kind, where I needed to put action to it, where I needed to say something that's going to ruffle feathers, that's going to make somebody angry. But God, I pray today that you'll help us all to see the difference, how you want us to keep in step with you and your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, if there's one here today who doesn't know you, that they would use this time, as the band sings in just a moment, to come and to give their lives to you. I pray for those here today that need to repent, that they feel that you're calling them to turn around from the ways that they've been living and to move towards you, to move towards your scriptures, to move towards your Holy Spirit, to be like you. I pray that you'll run through this service, through these folks' minds, through their hearts, through the ones that are sitting here online today, God, that you will touch them, that you will show them the areas of their life that you want to run roughshod through. So, God, we allow you to be God these next few minutes. Pray all these things in your Son's name. Amen.